Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I already called my wife. Honey, Sam Darnold's on television tonight. We're eating in. Let's make some pasta, have a glass of wine. Very excited for the soon-to-be 3-0 Carolina Panthers. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell. 15 minutes. You play fantasy football, you bet on football, or just want to get smarter. Greg Cosell,
one hour
from now. Joy Taylor, already made my call. I'm already ready to go.
I actually have a good restaurant recommendation for you.
Can we not say it publicly?
Not saying it on air. Nope. It's too small.
I went to my dentist 2 days ago. Not talking about
it. Your dentist is a really nice... I don't know him or where it is, but when you were describing where
it is,
I already know it's an amazing dentist.
I'm not telling anybody. I'll never get in again.
I'm going to tell you about this place, though, because I think you'll like it.
All right. Today is the 20th anniversary of Drew Bledsoe getting knocked silly, one of the hardest hits ever, and Tom Brady stepping up and being the quarterback. And Seth Wickersham's a very good writer, has a big expose on it. Bledsoe was really one of the most serious injuries in league history. They had to rush him to a hospital, internal bleeding. And, you know, people, for the longest time, it was almost comical that Brady was a system quarterback and it was all about Belichick. And we've all come to realize Tom's pretty good. Yes, Tom Brady got a break. I think everybody in life gets lots of breaks, but many people aren't grateful and can't recognize them. I always think how lucky I was to have two smart parents. My dad was a doctor. His brother was a doctor. My mom in England was an honors student. I came out with a much greater chance to succeed than many other people in the world. I'm eternally grateful I had smart parents who made, you know, lots of smart decisions. I was around that wisdom my whole life. We didn't have a lot of sickness in my family. Mostly everybody's healthy. Everybody lives a long time. Feel very, very lucky for that. But it's interesting because with Brady, there has always been this sense that, boy, he got Belichick. And what a break he got. Tom Brady would have been really, really, really successful if he would have gone to any team, including the Cleveland Browns or Detroit, because he has the greatest traits I've ever seen. He's the most disciplined athlete I've ever seen. He's the most willful athlete I've ever seen. He was drafted in high school by a Major League Baseball team. He is big, he is strong, he is smart, and he is incredibly obsessed about this sport. But yes, he got a break, Bill Belichick, and the injury. Should be noted, Belichick was about done with Drew Bledsoe anyway, so Tom was going to get some reps. You know who also got breaks, though? Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, and Dak. Jared Goff got the smartest young coach in the football league, Sean McVay, a great offensive line, and Todd Gurley for a 2 or 3 year window may have been the best running back in the league. Oh, yeah, the defense was good, too. Matt Ryan got good ownership, Julio Jones, and Kyle Shanahan for several years as a coordinator. And Dak Prescott got the best offensive line and the best running back for a few years, Zeke. All three playoff disappointments. Everybody gets breaks. It's what you do with them. By the way, here's who also got breaks. And I believe to be a legend in team sports, I'm not talking tennis where you don't have a salary cap, you control to a greater extent your success. I'm not talking skiing, tennis, golf. I'm talking in team sports. And in America, they overwhelmingly have salary caps. Everybody needs a break to be a legend. Tom Brady would have been a Pro Bowler. Tom Brady would have been a Pro Bowler. Tom Brady would have gone to the playoffs, and my gut feeling is he would have eventually won a Super Bowl. But he's a legend, a living, playing legend. Every legend got breaks. I'll give you an example. Michael Jordan got breaks. Phil Jackson? Maybe the smartest coach in league history. Great, rock-solid parents. A legendary, wisdom-filled college head coach. Scottie Pippen, not a bad number two. Michael Jordan got breaks. Phil Jackson talked Michael Jordan into shooting less and being a better teammate. What if he never had that wisdom, or the wisdom of his parents, or the wisdom of Dean Smith? Michael would have scored 47 points a game, and that'd be about it. Because he couldn't beat those Pistons for a long time until he got that wisdom. Tim Duncan, that's a legend, got a break. David Robinson broke his foot. The Spurs were actually a good team. After Robinson broke his foot, they tanked, and they got Duncan. They had won 59 games the year before. He got a great ownership group, Greg Popovich, David Robinson, ready to go. How about Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. He inherited Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Excellent ownership, terrific general manager, and a flaky division. And how lucky was Patrick Mahomes to get Alex Smith for a year? I mean, the ultimate teammate. To be a legend, and I'm talking Jeter and Kobe and Michael and Brady, to be a legend, not an all-star, not even a Hall of Famer, John Elway was known as having a great arm and getting blown out in Super Bowls. That was John. I lived through it. That was his legend. He's getting blown out in Super Bowls. And then he got one of the three or four greatest offensive minds in the history of football, Mike Shanahan, and this kid named Terrell Davis, a running back. And you know what happened to John Elway then? He blew out people in Super Bowls. John Elway's a legend. Peyton Manning got Bill Polian, the GM, Hall of Famer, a legend. Brett Favre got Ron Wolfe. Favre's a legend. Derek Jeter goes to the Royals or the Reds. He's an all-star, and he probably ends up being a Hall of Famer. You're not going to YouTube watching those Yankee highlights in Yankee Stadium. He's not playing the Red Sox in classic fall ALCS series, okay? So everybody gets breaks to be a legend, not to be an all-star. All-star is different. Sport, I'll give you an example. Right now in Major League Baseball, there's so few legends out there. I'm talking Kobe. I'm talking Michael. I'm talking LeBron. I'm talking Brady. How many legends currently in Major League Baseball do we have? None. Mike Trout's great. He's not a legend. Never won a playoff series. We got great players all through baseball. Name a current legend. I don't think the sport has one. I don't. Like, Clayton Kershaw is huge in Los Angeles. Justin Verlander. We don't have a Reggie Jackson. We don't have a Babe Ruth. Now, Otani is better than Babe, but he's not a legend because we don't watch him in the fall, and that's when legends are made in baseball. In the NFL, legends are made in the winter, December and January and early February. So, yes, Tom Brady got breaks. We all do. Every legend ever in sports got something great. You know, it's you start looking around sports. Now, people that watch this show are sports fans, so you tend to think there's a lot more legends than there really are. The test I used to do was with my late mother, who was from England. If she had heard of you, you were a legend. She had heard of Michael Jordan. She wouldn't know who Russell Westbrook is. She would have heard of LeBron James. She had heard of Kobe. She had heard of Ken Griffey. We lived in the Pacific Northwest. She knew one athlete, Ken Griffey. Ken Griffey, the kid's a legend. So, yes, Tom Brady, 20th anniversary, got some breaks. All the great ones did. The truly great ones did.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sam Darnold and the Panthers tonight. play the Houston Texans, and they are about a touchdown favorite, a little bit more. There's a headline today, according to the Charlotte Observer, that Sam Darnold was not the first choice of the Carolina Panthers. They preferred Matt Stafford, and they preferred Deshaun Watson. And my takeaway is this is great news for Sam Darnold because he should not have been their first choice. Matt Stafford's got a better arm, and Deshaun Watson is more athletically gifted. Sam Darnold should have been the third choice and was. And that is a great thing for Sam Darnold because what ruins careers like his career with the Jets early is a front office that doesn't understand personnel. If you go to the last two drafts of the Carolina Panthers, and their GM and Matt Rhule, very impressive. Several high-end starters. Carolina, and this is a good example that they know what they're doing. They currently have the second most cap space in the league, and they only have one unit, offensive line, that's in a rebuild. You'll see it tonight. It's their weakest unit. And that's why they can't be a great team. But their front seven, their defensive line, their wide receivers, their running backs are not only good, they're outstanding. Take the Chicago Bears. They're out of money and have four different units that need upgrading. Look at the New York Giants. They have no cap space. They're awful in a lot of different places. Carolina is a great example. If you know personnel, Bill Parcells did turnaround jobs four times within a year and Jimmy Johnson two times within a year. This league is not that hard if you know personnel. Parcells was brilliant. Jimmy Johnson, outstanding. Matt Rhule knows what he's doing. And by the way, if you go to Matt Rhule's college career, he's done it. This is the third time it's starting to look the exact same. So Matt Rhule goes to Temple. First year is a teardown. He's 2-10. Next year, he stabilizes it. They get to 500. And then we're off to bowl games. 10-4, 10-3. If you go to Matt Rhule in Baylor, the exact same thing. First year is a teardown. Take it to the studs. Second year, 500. We get to respectability. Third year, 11 wins, major bowl game, off and running. Well, what have they done in Carolina? Last year, the draft was all defensive players. They hit on three of them. Three of them appear to be outstanding. They tore it down to the studs, 5-11. Look at them this year. I predicted they'd be 8-9. Right now they're 2-0, should win tonight, go 3-0, but there are limitations. You can't be great with a bad O-line. And outside of right tackle, it's not a very good offensive line. You'll see tonight, Sam Darnold's got to run sometimes. But it's the exact, when people in life, men or women, move and keep doing the same thing in the same order, you got yourself a winner. And so this year, Matt Rhule, Atlanta and the Saints are in a rebuild. So it's a division you can win 9-10 games this year. Not be great. They're not great. Can't be great with a bad O-line. They also play the very weak NFC East and the pretty average AFC East. So if Sam Darnold is the first choice, and that was the headline today, they don't know what they're doing. Matt Stafford should have been the first choice. Deshaun Watson should have been choice 1A. Sam should have been third. My concern is for Washington, who thinks Taylor Heineke's the answer, or Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's my bigger concern. If you're a quarterback and you're not the first choice, and you got Matt Stafford on the market and Deshaun Watson, thank the heavens. Your people know what they're doing. So that headline sounds brutal. It's the best thing Darnold's heard in a long time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So as I've told you, I do not think Urban Meyer is going to leave Jacksonville. It would be too weird after 1 year. I think he's making a commitment to Trevor Lawrence and the ownership group. And USC, you know, has other candidates. I think there's some really interesting NFL and college candidates. I'll get to that in a second. Yesterday, I make a call every day on the USC job. I live here. It's my local team I follow closely. I go to practices. I know a lot of people in the building. I try not to be a fan. That's not my job. But I have a lot of friends who are connected to the university. And it's been a rough several years. And I do not think Urban Meyer is going to take the USC job. But I will say this, and let me personalize this for a second. People, when I left ESPN and came to Fox, were like, whoa, that's a big risk. I was like, no, it's not. It was an easy call. Fox News worked. Fox Business worked. Fox Sports was successful. I knew they'd figure out FS1. This company has, the Murdochs have a history of what they do works. This was an easy one. This wasn't a company that, like, some stuff works, like everything. It you know, the company has a history. You watch Fox Sports. You watch the Super Bowls. You watch the NFL. You watch the World Series. They hire good people. They get out of their way. It was an easy move to come here. Been a hard move to go to Vice or something I didn't know anything about. It was easy to come here. There was no risk in me coming here. And it's always easier for any of you listening, you know, when Nick Saban took the Alabama job. Well, Alabama's one with like seven different coaches. That's not a hard one to go to. Michigan State, you know, I don't know what you're getting, but Alabama's a top five brand of all time, even before Nick Saban got there. So Urban Meyer said to Vic Fangio this week, the coach of Denver, hey, NFL's rough. It's like playing Alabama every week. No, it's not. Alabama would get beat 70-0 by Jacksonville. It's much tougher than that. And I do not think he takes the USC job. But it is interesting that Urban Meyer would not have to wait to succeed here. Say, Urban Meyer took over 6-7 Ohio State and went undefeated the following year in the Big Ten, which is significantly better this morning than the Pac-12. This is the weakest the Pac-12's ever been. This is the third straight year. It's garbage outside of kind of Oregon. It's just garbage. Okay, so think about this. Clay Helton is probably the worst USC football coach in 25 years. Nice man, but it didn't work. He inherited kind of a mess. He's not a great coach. He got to 5 bowls, has a winning record, and before he was fired had won 4 straight road games. And he was a disaster. Urban Meyer next to Saban's the greatest college football coach ever. He turned around Bowling Green 1 year, Utah 1 year. Those are not top programs. If you go look at USC's schedule next year, the best team in the conference, Oregon, they don't play them. Their out-of-conference is Rice, Fresno State at home. Their toughest game is also at home, Notre Dame. And they probably wouldn't win that game. But they would walk Urban Meyer's the second-best coach. Look what he did at Ohio State. That's in the Big Ten when you got to play Wisconsin and Penn State. Those are real programs. I mean, Indiana's now, Iowa. This is the best Iowa team I've seen. Iowa's always a bowl team. Indiana can now play. Big Ten's a million miles better than the Pac-12. So do I think Urban's going there? No. But it's much easier, and take it from somebody who's, I've moved across country 4 times. It is much easier to move when you know you're going to have instant guaranteed success. You're not taking a pay cut. You're staying in great weather. The conference never been weaker. I can tell you Urban Meyer was absolutely interested in the job 2 years ago. How do I know? I talked to him in my office. My not very palatial office. I do not think he's leaving. I do not. And there's going to be really good candidates. By the way, I'd like to say this again. I said this yesterday. College football fans are all the same. My whole life. Our coach is loyal. Our coach would never leave. Our coach would... It's Los Angeles. 95% of great college football programs are in the sticks. You know who makes the decision? The wife. Lots of wives would love to live on the beach in Southern California with their adorable kids. I have been told that 2 of the candidates, I'm not telling you who, but they're great candidates, have already been given a thumbs up from their wives. Oh, yeah, I'll go. I know small town has an allure to many of you. Not to young, beautiful wives. They like L.A. They're not afraid of it. They're not afraid of the taxes. They like the sun and the Mediterranean climate, the things to do. So I don't think Urban's going, but, you know, I said, I don't think it's happening. But if you don't think USC, if they get the right coach, turn it around in first year. If you get the right coach, you'll win tomorrow. They got a roster with more 4- and 5-star guys than anybody in Pac-12. Every time USC's gotten the right coach, Pete Carroll, John Robinson, boom, overnight, bang, dominate the conference. Don't. If you think this brand's going to die, you're out of your mind. Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, USC, those brands don't die. They just dip. There are brands that die. Kansas State lost Bill Snyder. Bye-bye. Nebraska lost Tom Osborne. See you later. Bama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, USC, they dip. They don't die.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
NFL execs are still doubting Lamar Jackson is worth mega deal. There's a bunch of comments here. Of course, always anonymous. Is he a franchise guy? He's got one playoff win in 3 years, followed up with a complete disaster the next week. Well, first of all, mega deal. Like a Mahomes is a mega deal. I got to be honest with you. There's not a lot of people on the face of the earth that are worthy of a mega deal. He's going to get paid. Baker Mayfield's going to get paid. Mega deal? Yeah, I'd prefer not to pay anybody but like Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Mega deals. The media too often is kind of panders to just pay the athlete. We got salary caps here. It's not baseball. To me, when you get into this contract situation with young quarterbacks, I talked about this about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. There's three levels of it. Number one is pay the dude. The score's irrelevant. He's just it. Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, when they're young, just pay the guy. Literally change the franchise fortunes. In the Super Bowl conversation the minute they arrive. That's Mahomes. The second one is, oh, it's just not working. Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins. There are usually unfixable issues or three. Trubisky, just doesn't have the arm. He's not accurate. Dwayne Haskins, maturity. You're not winning enough. So, like, pay the dude or let's move on. And then the other one, and I think Lamar is on the high end of this, close to the pay the dude, is there may be an unfixable issue. I mean, Baker Mayfield's small. He's not a big athletic guy. Lamar's never going to be a beautiful passer. But they can win. They may need a better O-line or a better defense to win. They're not going to carry the team every Sunday. But you can, you know, they call it a confetti guy. It'd be a confetti guy. Lamar Jackson, I don't know if I feel Baker's there yet. I do think Lamar could be a confetti guy. But, I mean, Matt Ryan almost was. Jared Goff almost was. So the three levels are pay the dude, this ain't working, and it's not perfect, but you can win a lot of games. What you don't want to be in the NFL is driving to the stadium or the practice facility, and you don't think you can win on Sunday. Lamar wins a lot of games, so he's going to get paid. Mega deal. I mean, how many guys in the league at their position make mega deals? And then not many, and not many should. I mean, Odell Beckham is one of the most talented receivers. I'm not paying him big money anymore. Like, he's not available. He's not winning games for me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It was 1987, and I was sitting next to a poker machine at a bar in Las Vegas at a place called the Union Plaza. And there was a man next to me. I didn't go there by myself. My boss at the time, Don Logan, had to do a sales call, and he said, it's a big meeting, sit down here. So I moved over to the bar, ordered something weak, and I sat next to a guy from, I don't know if he was from Texas or Arkansas. He was very successful, and he looked successful. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, I asked him what he did, and he had just sold 22 TV or radio stations. Good old boy. And I said, you know, I'm young. I'm like, young guy. And give me some sage advice. You know, I like that. I look up to older people. Give me some sage advice. And he said, I just sold my company for a lot of money. And he goes, but I'll be honest with you, root for other people's success, not just your own. Don't be insecure about it. Figure out how they did it. Figure it. Don't be insecure. Don't be defensive. How did they do it? That's what many golfers did when Tiger Woods was dominating the tour. Golfers were smart enough to realize, oh, we got to get in shape. He's just in better shape than we are, just stronger. And suddenly all these young golfers went out there and they were all flat bellies. It used to be like that. The Craig Statler shape, that was gone. Colin Montgomery stuff. Now these young guys are ripped. Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, they're ripped. And it matters. You last longer, in better shape. No, they weren't defensive. Like, how is he doing it? How do you last longer? How do you drive farther? You got to work out like an athlete, not a golfer. And sometimes as Tiger was winning, root for his success. He was elevating the purses in golf. Everybody was making more money off him. Don't be insecure. What is he doing? So when Tom Brady won a Super Bowl in Tampa, Russell Wilson, well documented, was fuming watching the game in the press box. Fuming. Aaron Rodgers. Remember when he and Brady met at the end of that game? Aaron looks 60. Root for Brady. Brady is going to make Russell Wilson and potentially Aaron Rodgers $100 million. So think of what's happening right now. Carson Wentz can't play this week. So Chris Ballard, as good as any GM in this league, can't win football games. Bill Belichick, losing record since Tom left. Kyle Shanahan, best young coach many believe, is now 7-27. 7-27 without Jimmy Garoppolo. The best coach, the smartest offensive coach, maybe the best GM, can't win without a quarterback. So that's the first ingredient here. This is a copycat league. Man, you got to get the quarterback right. The second thing is Tom Brady had a very small market when he left New England. Only like two teams, Tampa and the Chargers, aggressively went after him. Now a lot of GMs look like idiots. Russell Wilson's contract is up in 2 years. Remember the rumors this offseason? I can tell you that Russell isn't in love with everything about Pete Carroll. Not in love. Happy now. Front-facing happy. But he'll be 35 at the end of this contract. 35. And there's two quarterbacks in this league that I would say are obsessed with their bodies, their minds, their discipline, their willfulness. Brady and Russell. I mean, are obsessed. Like a different level. It's like Aaron loves the game, but, you know, he's out there and hot. No. Russell Wilson and Brady, like, they're here and everybody else's discipline, you're a little down here. Does Russell realize at 35 and the market there could be for him? Does Aaron Rodgers realize that Brady also had injuries? Brady's older than Aaron after this year. I look at Aaron and Russell and I think, you know, they look in the moment and you're like, in the moment Tiger Woods humiliates you and beats you by 9, you know, at the U.S. Open. And you're like, oh, no, he was really giving you, here's how to get rich. Here's how to be in better shape. Here's how to elevate the entire sport. Brady is going to get so many guys paid at 39, at 40, at 41, at 42. He's going to get so many guys paid. If you just do your part of the deal, commit to emotional, physical discipline. Put in the time and make sure everybody sees it on Instagram. And Russell does and Tom does. Tom, don't kid yourself. Tom knows what he's doing. When Tom is throwing in Costa Rica, it always gets photographed. You ever notice that? He's down there with Giselle. How come it always ends up on the internet? Tom wants you to know, I ain't getting old. I'm getting better. Russell Wilson, every day in the offseason. Hello, 100 degrees down here in Arizona. I don't care. It's noon. I'm working out. I think Tommy's going to make these guys. Don't be defensive. He is opening up a gateway of hundreds of millions of dollars for 39-year-old quarterbacks. Russell's going to be 35 in 2 years. I mean, they'll be like, it really is. We were talking about this the other day. The fact that only two teams aggressively pursued Brady literally looks ridiculous today. You know, like when they created the iPhone, Steve Jobs said, the late Steve Jobs, the brilliance of Steve Jobs is he created something that you couldn't live without, and you just didn't know it yet. We couldn't live without our phones. That's a genius. That's a visionary. Brady literally has changed the league, and there was no market for him. He has opened up a tunnel, hundreds of millions of dollars for older quarterbacks, because you don't want to look silly. You don't want to look like these GMs who didn't. You see six or seven of these teams, you're like, the hell, you didn't make a run at Brady?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Dave Wannstedt coached the Bears and the Dolphins. National championship defensive coordinator, Miami. Super Bowl champ defensive coordinator, Cowboys. He is now joining us live. So you're in Chicago, and this whole Justin Fields thing... It is just, I have a friend in Chicago who's in sports talk radio. It's their only topic. It's just, you tell me, what is it? What do you expect, and how's it landing for you?
And you're right. And the White Sox are getting ready to make a run to try to win the World Series in baseball. And it's probably getting, you know, 1/5 of the conversation that the Bears are getting. It's kind of interesting because until last week, the Bears defense played horrible in the opener against the Rams. We all talked about that. So in my mind, I kept wanting to come back and talk about the Bears defense has to step up, which they did in the win last week, but against Cincinnati. But people didn't want to hear that. It's amazing. David Montgomery played fantastic.
Yeah.
He averaged 7 yards a carry against the Rams. Nobody wanted to talk about that. It's just the quarterback. And they're going to find out this week, obviously, because Andy Dalton's hurt. Justin Fields is the guy. And the interesting thing about this is, you know, Nick Foles is the backup quarterback right now. And we all know that Nick Foles is not the type of player that Justin Fields is athletically, arm strength, on and on. So I'm curious to see, is everybody, you know, is their game plan going to be curtailed and is it going to be molded for Justin Fields to be successful? You know, some quarterback runs, run pass option, sprint outs, move the pocket, all that stuff. Or are they going to stay with the normal Bears offense? You know, that's the biggest question mark, I think, that all the fans have right now. At least I do.
You know, Matt Nagy, he got Trubisky to the playoffs twice in a division with Green Bay. So that's not an easy division to get to the playoffs because Green Bay's got Aaron and, you know, the Packers are well run mostly. So what do you think's going through? You know, you've been a coach with the Chicago Bears. How do you feel about Nagy right now and how he's handling it?
Well, it's kind of growing on me for this point. And I think that Chicago people, I mean, they all want him fired. I mean, that's just the way it is here. But, you know, the truth of the matter is the guy has a conviction about where Justin Fields is. He never said that he would not be a great player. He's never said that. He believes in this kid. He was his biggest fan when they drafted him. But he believes that he's not ready now. And all I can tell you is, as a coach, things would happen when I would be coaching and nobody could understand it, but there might have been something on the practice field or something in a meeting or something that just said, you know what? Wow, this could really cost us a game. This poor kid's not ready to be successful yet. So there's something going on that no one's aware of except Matt Nagy and the coaches, and he's standing by it. He is not being swayed by the emotions of the fans and the local media here. I can tell you that.
So you coached in Miami. In fact, no Dolphin hit. Last playoff win under you was a 2000 wild card round. That's the Dolphins' last playoff win, actually. So the Tua situation. Listen, we knew, Joey and I talked about this yesterday. So he had a bad ankle in college. He had the hip injury in college. And now you get him to the NFL and he gets knocked out in the second game. You know, Dave, you're not going to announce it, but do you think they're having private meetings right now, the GM, the coach, you know, owner, and they're literally saying to themselves, we're not sure if this guy physically, we may have made a mistake here. Do you think there's any doubt in their mind?
Well, I can tell you this. He was hit twice out of his first three passes, and I think maybe sacked twice. So, you know, and they got a lot, and I know people inside that organization, and defensively and offensively, there's a lot of committee determining what game plan should happen and what play should be called, co-this, co-coordinator this. So I just think that a little bit like Chicago, that they really haven't said, he's our guy and this is what he does best and let's do it. I mean, how do you get your quarterback hit the first two out of three passes? God, what do you, I mean, that's should never happen. I don't care if he's a rookie or if he's a 10-year veteran. I mean, that's not giving them the chance to be successful. So I'm a fan of Tua's. I'm glad that they stuck with him when the conversations were starting in the summer about Deshaun Watson. That made me nervous. They came back and said, he's our guy. Now, I mean, he's got broken ribs. It's going to be a few weeks. I promise you that. So who knows when they come back, because I do think that there's a lot of different opinions on offense and defense going on at the Miami Dolphins.
So Sam Darnold, he and Carson Wentz kind of play recklessly, but right now Wentz is playing from behind. Darnold's playing in two games with a lead and a running game. So Sam, his reckless nature, we have not seen it yet. He's been playing with leads. They have a running game. He's throwing on third and two. You know, Wentz is behind, not much of a running game. He's having to make plays, and you're seeing the reckless part. Because I've always thought Wentz and Darnold are big, strong, but kind of reckless players. Can you coach reckless out of a player? Like if Sam Darnold gets into a situation, now he's trailing, now he's down late, or do you think the circumstances for Sam are leading us to believe he's no longer reckless, but it's in his football DNA? Can you coach reckless out of a quarterback?
Well, it depends if it's good reckless or bad reckless. No, I'm serious. Think about this now. Brett Favre was reckless. Brett Favre, you know, threw more interceptions or as many as any rookie his first year in the league. He was reckless, but as he started maturing, that recklessness turned into a lot of touchdowns, as we know. Great player, Hall of Famer. So I think if the recklessness in a quarterback is leading to turnovers, the guy can't play. So I think we got to give Darnold a little bit more time. And Wentz just doesn't have a supporting cast. I mean, the guy wasn't throwing turnovers. You know, they're not blocking very well for him. Like you said, Jonathan Taylor, the running back's not giving him much help. T.Y. Hilton, the big receiver that he had, he's out. So he's in a lot tougher situation. I think Sam Darnold, Carolina Panthers right now, I mean, I don't know if anybody realizes this, their defensive line is leading the NFL in sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing defense. You got Christian McCaffrey. You got a running game. So Sam's situation is a lot more stable in my mind than Carson Wentz.
So I know USC has a couple of NFL names that they're looking at and several college names. And coaches never say publicly, oh, I want the job. They always deny, deny, deny. And then their agent's talking to USC. And USC is going to pay $8 to $10 million, and it's got great weather, and the Pac-12's never been weaker. And whoever comes here has a chance to win. I mean, next year they don't play Oregon. They're out of conference schedules, mostly weak. The Pac-12's never been weaker. You coach briefly at USC, so you know it. I think a lot of people are saying, oh, the brand is dead. It's over. And I think to myself, how do football coaches view the USC brand and the job opening today?
Yeah, I can relate to it, because when I went to USC, they were in the last year of probation. So we weren't eligible for a bowl game that year. 2 years later, we go to the Rose Bowl and we play Ohio State and we beat them in the Rose Bowl. And I used I can use USC, I can use Penn State. When they went through their turmoil after the Joe Paterno stuff, great programs have a tendency, Oklahoma's done it, great programs have a tendency to come back with real quick. So I'm not concerned at all. I think Sark's going to get Texas turned around in a hurry. USC, I was there 3 years, like I say, and there's so much tradition to that place, and you can go anywhere. I mean, the only school, I was the national recruiter, and I went and recruited kids out of D.C., out of New Jersey, and I could walk in back then and say, I'm from USC, and it didn't matter who was recruiting them and what part of the country, people are going to listen to you.
Good stuff. In Chicago today, he's doing his radio shows in Chicago. This week they play the Cleveland Browns. By the way, I could say this, Coach. Cleveland's got seven new starters. Their defense is not quite there yet. It's not a terrible first start, right? Miles Garrett's no fun, but this is not the Steelers' defense. It's not Carolina's. Like, if I said to you, Justin Fields goes 20 of 30, a touchdown, a pick, does that sound reasonable to you?
Sure, it absolutely does. And I'll tell you what, that better get ready for if you're a Cleveland fan. I'll throw this out there. If Eddie Goldman comes back, which they're saying he will, their starting nose guard hasn't played yet, and Nichols, the other defensive tackle, in addition to Akeem Hicks, Quinn's playing good, obviously Mack, Khalil Mack. I tell you what, this is going to be a challenge, I personally think, for Cleveland to run the ball. I mean, if you're going to attack the Bears' defense, you better be willing to throw it deep against that secondary and hope that you have enough time. This will not be easy. I kind of like Cleveland a little bit in this one, but everyone thinks that they're going to line up and just run the ball on the Bears. That's not happening. I truly believe it.
So good to see the coach. Dave Wannstedt, you see him Sundays, 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox. Good seeing you.
Okay, Colin. See you, Joy.